May I have a motion to approve the minutes of the October 22nd meeting, please?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Discussion items. John, please.
Hi. Well, in the State of the State address last week, Governor Parsons said that one of the ways we can assess how we're doing as a state is to ask if more people have more money in their pockets. And that's exactly the topic of this report. We're tracing changes in per capita income over the last 50 years for the 50 metropolitan regions that we track. So let me just walk you through this graphic. Apologies to people who are facing away from it. So what this graph shows is each arrow represents a different metropolitan region. So Santa Jose happens to be on the left here. And the face of the arrow shows where each region was in 1969. And then the tip shows where the region was in 2018. The per capita income levels are expressed as a percent of the national average, which is shown by this little line. So what you can see here is that San Jose, back in 1969, their per capita income was about 25% higher than the national average. By last year, a couple of years ago, it was nearly double the national average. San Francisco, as well, you can see, started well above the national average and then shot way up as well over the last 50 years to more than 80% above the national level. St. Louis here is highlighted in orange. It barely budged. In 1969, St. Louis's per capita income was 4% higher than the national average. In 2018, it was 3% higher than the national average. So it slipped a little, but it was really very consistent. And then over here on the right, you can see the arrows pointing down the other way. These are areas that had slower income growth than the rest of the country. So some of the other major metropolitan regions, like Detroit and Cleveland, fell relative to the rest of the country. And then also a lot of the Sun Belt regions, like Orlando, Phoenix, Las Vegas, they had explosive population growth, but pretty slow income growth. So as I look at this graph, what I really see is that there are five regions that have really grabbed a disproportionate share of income. And those are San Jose, San Francisco, Boston, New York, and Seattle. There were two other regions that also had very rapid growth. They were Austin and Nashville. But they also started out a lot poorer than the rest of the country. And we had brief write-ups on what happened in those regions in the report. So I'm not going to go through every graph in detail here, but if you want to look at the report, you can go through and see what happened to the metropolitan areas in each of the major business cycles since about 1970. So here, for example, is the 70s, and oil-producing regions like Houston did very well. Traditional manufacturing centers, not so much. And St. Louis, you can see in orange there again, it's barely relative to the rest of the country. The 80s, this was really the rise of finance. So this was the era when Boston, New York, and Hartford really pulled ahead of the rest of the country in a big way. The oil-producing regions, energy prices dropped, and so places like Houston fell back down to the average income levels in the 80s. And St. Louis, you can see again, stayed basically unchanged. So the 90s with the dot-com bubble, this was really when San Jose and San Francisco pulled way ahead of the rest of the country in a really big way. St. Louis, again, you can see barely changed, and some of the Sun Belt regions like Los Angeles and Miami were the ones that dropped during the dot-com craze. The housing bubble, the regions that saw the biggest increase in income were the ones that had the biggest appreciation in home prices, and of course that turned out to be temporary. But some places like Miami and Los Angeles had really big increases in income during the housing bubble. St. Louis dropped just a tiny amount. It was still about 3% higher than the national average. And you can also see that San Jose and San Francisco were still recovering from the dot-com crash then. So during the recession, St. Louis actually did better than most of the peer regions, and I think that's mainly because we were just unaffected by the previous two bubbles, and so we didn't have the dizzying heights, and we also didn't have the deep crash. So I happen to think that's a good thing. The biggest losers in the recession were, again, Sun Belt regions. You can see places like Atlanta, Phoenix, Las Vegas all fell below the national average. And then this is the most recent period, the period since 2010. And you can see, again, San Jose and San Francisco are really, and Seattle really, are all pulling way ahead of the rest of the country. New York has also expanded its income share. You can see places like Houston, Tampa, Memphis, some of the southern regions are not doing as well. So this really, most of the growth that you see in the Bay Area is, I'm sure I don't have to tell you, due to the IT-related industries. St. Louis has dropped a little bit, but we're still just above the national average, about 3% above. So I'm going to go back to the 50-year view again. And there are two big conclusions that I'd suggest. The first is that St. Louis has done better than a lot of regions. St. Louis is a major manufacturing hub, and we've done better than a lot of other major manufacturing city centers like Detroit and Cleveland. We've done better than a lot of Sun Belt regions that have seen explosive population growth, but slower income growth. And we've done better, and we're doing a little bit better than some of our nearest neighbors, including Indianapolis and Kansas City. So, in an economy that's been as turbulent as it's been in the last 50 years, I think staying the same is something of an achievement. So I think we should feel good about our consistency. But the other conclusion that I've drawn is that there is just a phenomenal amount of money flowing to just a handful of regions, mostly the Bay Area, Seattle, New York to Boston corridor. And to the extent that that this is due to them being more productive, having more productive workforce, being more innovative, then, if you believe in free market economics, you would say, well, good for them. They're more productive, they're getting what they deserve. But there's another hypothesis, which is that a lot of the accumulation of wealth in big tech is due more to political manipulation and anti-competitive practices. And people as diverse as Josh Hawley, Elizabeth Warren, and even President Trump have all expressed the view that there's some potential antitrust violations going on now, and that the U.S. Department of Justice and the House Antitrust Subcommittee are both investigating this, and I think the outcome of that investigation could determine the extent to which places like St. Louis can compete for some of those high-tech jobs. So one other thing I want to make you aware of is that the Brookings Institution just put out a report, and they called for the federal government to establish regional innovation centers that would give other regions of the country a chance to cash in on some of these high-paying tech jobs. So of course, who knows whether this will ever be enacted into law, but that's something we'll monitor, and if a competition for something like this should arise, I assume we'd want to vigorously pursue it. The other thing I wanted to show you is that next week we're going to be putting a little online application on the Where We Stand website. Here, let me see if I can, my mouse isn't working. Oh, that's a shame. What? It's working? There we go. Okay, so, I showed you what happened during some time periods, like in the 1970s, but what this just allows you to do is to pick your own beginning and end date. So I can't see what year that is. Is that 1987?
Yes.
If you want to see what happened between 1987 and 1986, or 2006, for example, you can move these scroll bars and you can mouse over it and see which regions we're talking about. This, quite honestly, is a tweet date. We're hoping that that Twitter will pick up on this, and that'll just contribute to a discussion of regional and gender equality.
John, don't give away our secrets.
that's the report. Thank you, and welcome any thoughts you might have.
Any questions for John? Thank you, John.
Thank you.
Mr. Lang, if you please.
Gateway staff has begun development of the FY 2021 and 2024 Transportation Improvement Program, or TIP. If you're not familiar, the TIP is a schedule of projects using federal funds over the next 4 years. Transportation projects, that is. And transportation projects with federal funds must be included in this document in order to move towards completion. Development of the TIP kicks off when applications for local programs goes on our website. This year, the Surface Transportation Block Grant Program, or STP, and Congestion Mitigation Air Quality Improvement Program, or CMAP. Those applications front of the website on November 8th. STP funds can be used for road improvements, such as resurfacing, or reconstruction, iPad improvements, improvements to transit. Those are a few of those types of projects. CMAP funds are used for projects that reduce reduce congestion or improve air quality. Some projects that have been funded with CMAC funds in the past include intersection improvements, signal timing improvements, transit vehicle acquisition, or roundabouts. This year there's approximately $5 million in STP and $5.5 million in CMAC available program in the Illinois South region. And on the Missouri side, there's approximately $55 million STP and $20 million in CMAC available. Gateway staff hosted 4 workshops throughout the region in November from the 18th to the 21st. This provided project sponsors by cities or counties information on the funding types, the applications, and the evaluation process. East West Gateway also hosted 3 project review workshops this month. At this workshop, a sponsor would sign up for a half-hour segment or a time slot to discuss their project with Gateway staff, in addition to the Department of Transportation as a part of it, depending on which side of the river is IDOT or MoDOT, as well as transit and bike and staff. So moving forward, STP and CMAC applications are on February 13th, and staff will begin the evaluation process. In the March, East West Gateway will submit a summary of the local projects that was submitted for consideration. And on April 3rd, the programs from our partner agencies are due. And by partner agencies, I mean is MoDOT, IDOT, Metro Mass and County Transit. These projects or programs are to be incorporated into the draft TIP. In early May, Gateway staff will present the scored local projects to the TPC for Transportation Planning Committee, which will in turn recommend projects based on the available funding. These recommended projects will be presented to the EAC and board at the end of June. At the end of June, Gateway staff will present the draft TIP to the EAC and board and will release the projects and the TIP for public comment. Public comment period will be from June 30th to August 5th. At that time, the draft TIP will be available at open house meetings throughout the region. Once the comment period concludes, Gateway will summarize comments and present those as well as the TIP to final approval at the meeting on before August 26th. Have you answered any questions?
Any questions for Jason? Thank you, sir. Moving on to action items, Stacy, please.
Start our calendar 2019 audit. So we need to enter into a contract with our auditing firm, which is currently KPP. So we expect that our audit will start in late April, early May, and it will be done by the end of June. The staff is recommending that the board authorize the executive director to enter into a contract with KPP in an amount not to exceed $50,000 to perform our audit services this year.
Any questions for Stacy? May I have a motion to approve the staff recommendation, please?
Moved.
Have a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you.
MoDOT's Traffic Engineering Assistance Program is a competitive funding program whereby MoDOT will fund up to 80% of the cost of an engineering project, up to a maximum of $8,000 per project for a local agency. In fiscal year 2020, one project in our region was selected. A stop sign assessment for the city of Baldwin for $10,000, $8,000 of which is MoDOT funding. MoDOT has requested we amend our Unified Planning Work Program to add an element for this project. Staff recommends the UPWP be amended to add element 2.10 2010, MoDOT Traffic Engineering Assistance Program for a total of $10,000.
Any questions for Jeff? May I have a motion to approve the staff recommendations, please?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you. Melissa, please.
The Section 5310 program provides funding for transportation projects that help improve the mobility of seniors and individuals with disabilities. Funds are apportioned to the St. Louis urbanized area, and federal law requires that at least 55% of funds be spent on traditional projects, which includes the capital acquisition of vehicles. The remaining 45% may be used for new prototype projects, which includes capital or operating projects that exceed the requirements of ADA, improve access to fixed route service, or provide alternatives to public transit. The program requires a 20% local match for capital and mobility management projects, and a 50% local match for operating projects. East West Gateway was called for projects on August 29, 2019, and project applications were due on October 11. Approximately $3.1 million is available for this solicitation in fiscal year 2019 funds and estimated fiscal year 2020 funds. We should know the final fiscal year 2020 apportionment for Section 5310 funds within the next couple of months. At the conclusion of the solicitation, the staff received 28 applications totaling $5.4 million in federal funds. Project applications were evaluated by East West Gateway staff according to the criteria in the 2016 board-approved coordinated human services transportation plan. In all, staff is recommending approval of 23 projects totaling $3,186,000 in federal funds as detailed in attachment A. In addition, staff recommends authorization to include projects recommended on the contingency list, that's also in your memo, up to the amount of fiscal year 2020 funds available.
Any questions for Melissa? May I have a motion to approve the staff recommendation, please? Second, please.
Second.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you. Jason, you're back.
Back. So switching gears, I was just talking about the future transportation program. So now we're going back to the existing FY 2020 and 2020 TIP. When this document was approved last August, the Illinois Department of Transportation program had not yet been released. The government of Illinois released that program in October. This program included funding from the Rebuild Illinois Capital Improvement Plan. IDOT's requesting to amend the TIP to add a total of 75 projects. This includes 67 construction projects and 8 engineering only projects. This total is $831 million. For comparison, in the prior 2019 to 2022 TIP, IDOT's program is only $293 million. So overall, this represents a significant increase in investment in Metro East of over $530 million. When you compare this amendment to the prior TIP. IDOT's projects are summarized in your memo in the attachments A and B. MoDOT is also requesting to amend the TIP, include one new project. This will add one lane up westbound Route 64 between the Green River and Jones Station Road. It's also requesting to advance one project from 21 to fiscal year 21 to fiscal year 20. MoDOT is also requesting to add 5 new scope or design projects. Overall, MoDOT's program totals about $18 million. And these projects are summarized in the attachment. Finally, the City of Troy received funding to construct a left turn lane on Troy Valley Road. This was funded through the Highway Safety Improvement Program. This is administered by IDOT. And the project was selected after a stakeholder review, and the project was further summarized in the attachment C of the meeting. Just to go over some of the major projects in IDOT's program, these are projects that are over $25 million. This includes funding to replace the bridge on I-270 at the Chain of Rocks, as well as to do the resurfacing improvements in St. Clair County on 255 between Route 15 and south to Route 157. Also included are improvements to add additional lanes on I-64 in St. Clair County, roughly from Greenmount Road, Fowler to the east towards 158 by Scott Air Force Base. And finally, those improvements to reconfigure interchange on routes at Route 111 or East Highway I-64 in Washington Park.
Since these West Acre regions are not attainable maintenance of air quality standards, projects must be analyzed to determine conformity with state air quality standards and budgets. This analysis is concluded when our regionally significant projects that have new capacities and transportation system. This amendment includes 10 such projects, 9 of which are from the IDOT and 1 is from MoDOT. The conformity has been completed and the projects of the TIP and the amendment do conform with the state budgets. So at this time, since there's a large amount of projects with the amendment, as well as regionally significant projects, there is a public comment period for the amendments and the air quality and conformity determination. The comment period began on January 14th and extends to February 13th. Information on the amendments is available through the East West Gateway website. There's a slider on the homepage which I will link you to there, or if you go to the transportation planning tab and then to the TIP, it will also link you to where the projects are summarized. And it will include just the basically same information you have there to summarize these projects. Also on the public page is information on how to offer public comment. So comments can be sent by mail, by email. There's also an online comment form that you can select the sponsor and then the project. You can just give the basic information and then you can send the comment through that mechanism as well. At this time, staff recommends approval of the mid-year air quality conformity amendments to the TIP pending no adverse public comments through the end of the comment period of February
3rd. Any questions for Jason? May I have a motion to approve the staff recommendation, please?
I have a question.
Oh, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Can we just discuss the rebuild memorial program a little bit, since I think the vast majority of these projects are being funded through that program?
Yeah. So the Illinois program?
Yeah.
So in Illinois, there's 75 projects, and there's 67 of those that are funded for construction, and the vast majority of funding is coming from the recent past rebuild of the capital plan. And these are just some of the major projects, but in the attachments A and B of the memos. Most of the projects are resurfacing type projects, safety improvements. There are more capacity added projects in the past, mainly due to new inputs in the capital plan.
Yeah, I just meant the rebuild Illinois program itself. Funding program is a big deal. So I wonder if we could discuss that in general, because I imagine it will make in the coming years we'll see a lot more projects on the Illinois side as well.
I could answer it better. My understanding is Regional Illinois is funded through the gas tax increase.
Tom, do you have any insight on it?
Yes. 19 cents water tax increase is a major driver of the increase in capital. There also was some bonding that was acquired to that program.
Yes, what are you asking, Tom? All right, Tom, Scott, I'm sorry.
That's what I just think it's such a significant change. One of those largest ever, bonded investment in infrastructure. Year one, we're getting $800 million of additional projects, and I think it continues to get a lot of additional projects on the other side. So just maybe it might help everybody to understand what that influx of funding is going to look like.
Yeah, and I'm not sure that anybody really knows. I think they're front-loading a lot of this. So in terms of more projects coming down the pipe, you'll see some, but a lot of the money that is being generated and being put toward projects in Illinois through this program is happening right now, these 75 projects or 60-some projects that you're seeing. Kevin, do you have any more insight? That's always been my understanding.
Yeah, you're correct.
Well, it was a doubling of their motor fuel tax increase at that moment. That's huge. Huge.
We love to tax ourselves, you
know. There hadn't been a motor fuel tax increase since 1992. and has been virtually a flat line for the last 28 years.
Did that answer your question?
I think it might be worth just maybe at a future meeting delving into some of the details a little bit so there's better understanding locally. I mean, there's both road and transit projects that are going to be funded, but you know, it'll be a significant departure from what Will and I have been doing and really from what Missouri tends to do. So just be interesting, I think, maybe understand the different funding mechanisms that will be played with this between Illinois and Missouri.
Any other questions for Jason, please?
Question, Jason, on the package that was provided, is there, on the map itself, compared to the list of projects, it seems like there's some things that are not consistent. It looks like there's a project in St. Charles County, 6987B, but I can't find it in the attachments. I didn't know if that was not included in the attachment or is the map incorrect.
The map shows the projects that are running for construction. So that has the two projects, the one from 364, and the other one is the, for surfacing on .C.
Uh-huh.
And then the other five, those are scoping or engineering. So since those, at this time, NORAD has identified funds for construction, so once ones are identified for construction, they will be to the map.
So on the map, there is a project that I didn't see under the St. Charles County we listed to that under construction. What is a 69870B? It's up near West Alton.
That's just picking up the IDOT projects.
That's an IDOT project?
Yeah, okay. That's just at the river.
Okay, so that's, I was just looking through the list of St. Charles was a bad one. That I just didn't find it, so it's IDOT project.
There's, the ones that are on the river, those are picking up just IDOT regularly across.
Okay. Thank you, that makes sense now.
Any other questions for Jason? May I have a, go ahead. You want to make a motion to approve the staff recommendations?
Yes.
May I have a second?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Aye. Aye. Other business, sir?
One item, we have two new members. Chris Duclap from Madison County is joining the committee and Michael Hurlberg from St. Charles County. So I want to welcome you to the group. New people bring donuts.
Any other business? Yes.
Mr. Chairman, I'm Steve Abel with the Municipal League of St. Louis County representing Pat Kelly. After the city of St. Louis canceled the privatization of the airport issue, our board of directors, along with Mr. Kelly, met with leaders from the county on the Missouri side of the river about the possibility of a study of Lambert to determine strengths and find out if we can collaborate as a region on a study, including the possibility of a regional airport authority. He asked me to bring that to the attention of this group today to see what your thoughts were and also find out if it's something that should go to the board of directors, a recommendation to determine if the study is reasonable or necessary.
I can say last week the Port Authority rescinded its plan to do such a study.
Right. Gateway as an organization obviously has the entire region. It can involve officials from all the counties on both sides of the river if necessary, not just the Port Authority, which is limited to St. Louis County and I guess the city.
I think we can investigate it, but it's not under action item. I don't think we can hold it right now. If you want to present something to Jim at the next meeting, that'd be great.
Is that the process?
That's the process. I can also check with the chair and the vice chair of the board and see if they want to discuss it at their meetings.
Any other business? You have a motion to adjourn, please.
So moved.
Second? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you all for coming.